Yeah, please.
Whatever.
Can I sit for this one? I can't see everyone. Okay. Finally starting to feel comfortable in camp. Everyone looks more like me today. I was kind of hoping we would continue that into the shir, but what can you do? By the Yidden we say davar b'ito matov. Davar b'ito matov. It's good to speak about things in their time. We spoke about this a little bit last time. That a Jew lives with the ebb and flow of the calendar. It's good to live with the times. Davar b'ito matov. So there's a lot of things we have to talk about. There's a lot of cross currents in the Jewish calendar that we're experiencing right now. Just as I was putting the shir together, I started thinking that there's a beautiful piece of Torah, and I'm sorry that the sources are not so much in order, and I apologize for the flipping, and the fact that I printed my notes to the shir together with the sources should be an indicator of the fact that I didn't have enough time to prepare the shir properly, and I apologize. But I think if we can learn together a little bit something, source number 7, teaching from the Oy of Yisrael. Why is it that around this time of year, always during the 3 weeks, we read Parshas Pinchas? So the Oy of Yisrael teaches that since Parshas Pinchas discusses all of the different Yom Tovim, of which there are 21 in total, 21 days where we celebrate the Yom Tovim, so the Oy of Yisrael says, in order to connect ourselves to these 21 days of the Bein HaMitzarim, which inside of them are hidden the most precious gems, the most beautiful and the most intimate moments with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these Yom Tovim, we need to read about them during the Bein HaMitzarim to remind ourselves that the Shorash, that the root, in the words of the Oy Bisrael, De'elu hachaf alef yom, shebein yud zayin tam, v'tamuz, in the third line, l'tes ba'av, these 21 days, between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, heim mekorim v'shorshim l'kol ha'moados. These are the source and the root of all of the Yom Tovim of the entire year, Shem Bechol and Gam Kin Chafalavim, which are also 21 days. V'hainu, Shabbos for Rosh Chodesh, the Zayin Yimei HaPesach, Chag Shavuos, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the 8 days of Chag HaSukkos correspond to these 21 days. So I guess I'll be the first I imagine I'll be the first person to wish everybody here a good Yom Kippur. Today is Yom Kippur, Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur. And Davar B'ito Matov, what a beautiful thing to speak about on Yom Kippur, the Indian of Tshuva. Today corresponds to the Yom Kippur and then the 8 days of Sukkot to follow. To speak a little about the Indian of Tshuva from a new perspective, from a fresh perspective, not the Tshuva, you know, I was afraid to, a few people asked me when I mentioned to them that there was a shir, so they asked what's the topic, and I said Tshuva, and as soon as you say Tshuva, like all of a sudden there's like a flicker of fire in the person's eyes, and there's a fear, and there's a automatic reticence, an automatic hesitation, not wanting to delve into that scary world of tshuva. But the truth is that tshuva is a beautiful topic, and therefore the topic of tonight's shir is called The Beauty of an Ugly Past. A tshuva, and the process of tshuva, if we see it through to the end, can help us to sometimes see beauty in what might otherwise seem to us have been an ugly, dark part of our lives. So we'll talk a little bit about Yom Kippur. But of course, the Shlach HaKadosh, now going back to the first source, the Shlach HaKadosh taught us that whenever we're reading about different things in the Parshios, those things correspond in a very deep way to what's going on in the Zmanei HaLuach. Story from the Baal Tanya that we have shared together, many of us, at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, that when the Baal Tanya wanted to try out to be the Baal Kore for the Magid of Mezrich, and he came to the Magid and he said to the Magid, I'm your man, I'm Baal Kore, I'm a master, Mil Ra, Mil El, I got all the dinim down, I have all the rules down, I know the Truf cold, I know the Parshios cold. So the Magid said to him, you know, about Kori in my shul, there are certain tanoim, there are certain qualifications that you need to have. He said, let me ask you a few questions. Chazar, for those who are familiar. Let me ask you a few questions. Number one, can you tell how when we're reading Parshas Dvarim this week, can you tell how that has to do with what's going on in world events? Can you tell how that has to do with what's going on around the world? That the parshios that we're reading, whatever parsha it is, whether it's Bereishis Noach Lech Lecha or any of the other parshios, how that corresponds to what's going on in world events right now? So the Baal Tani said, in fact, I was taught well enough to know that I'm able to do that. Of course, the Magid tested him and was satisfied, and he went on to question number 2 of 3. Then question number 2, are you able to tell how what happens in the Aliyah of Rishon corresponds to what happens on Sunday? Meaning, can you bring it down to such a pratyistic level? And it's not just what's happening in the Parsha in general corresponds to what's happening in the week, but can you see how mamash, what's happening on Yom Shlishi is hinted to in the third Aliyah of the Torah? He said, Rebbe, I don't mean to brag, but you're asking me these questions point blank, and I want to be your Baal Kore, so I have to tell you that, yes, I'm able to do that. So the Magid said to him, the third question is, are you able to tell how when David gets an Aliyah on Shabbos and he gets Revi, how that corresponds to something that he and his family needed to be mechubar to that particular Aliyah, something that's going on in their life? And he said, Rebbe, I can do that as well. And he got the job. The Shlach teaches us that the Parshios and what's going on in the world, what's going on in the Jewish world, in the calendar, in the Luach HaZman, are intimately tied together. So we're not surprised to find the topic of tshuva at the very beginning of the parsha. Today's Yom Rishon, Sunday. This is from Rishon. It's Yom Kippur. So let's learn a little Torah together. Pasuk says at the very beginning of a unique sefer called Sefer Dvarim, "Ela Dvarim asher dibra Moshe al kol Yisrael ve'ever hayardim mamidbar ba'arava musuf ve'in parin ve'in tipo ve'lov ve'chatzros ve'dizahav." These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. A speech for the man who's unable to speak. The Torah has healed him. And through the Torah, that Eitz Chaim, he's able to now speak words, beautiful, eloquent speeches to Am Yisrael. And Rashi tells us, what is the nature of these words and why are we being told at the places where he spoke them? So those of us who did our Shnai Mikra today will be familiar with the following words of Rashi. Eila HaDvarim Lefi Shem Divrei Tochachos. Dvarim, dibor means usually a lashon kasha, as opposed to amira, which is soft. Eila hadvarim, these are the tough words of tochacha. Umana kan kol makomos sheachisu lefnei amakom, v'hen lefikach sasam es hadvarim v'azkirim beremez v'fnei kvodin shal Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu here is going to be speaking about the not such great activities that Am Yisrael have been doing in the midbar, so Moshe Rabbeinu lefik kvodin shal Yisrael, because of the kavod of the Jewish people, decides that he's going to hide the actions of the Jewish people in the names that he's going to give, the remuzim to the names that he's going to give for the different places that he gave Tochacha. So you go through Rashi, and Rashi tells us that in the Midbar, in Arvas Moav, they made Hashem angry. By Arava, they made HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry with Baal Peor. Mul Suf, they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam, that they said the Mitzvah were also going to come through. By a place called Lavan, which is, I'm just picking random ones, where they complained about the white mun, which they got. They said, we want real food, what is this? Each of the places, Moshe Rabbeinu is hinting to a different chet, a different aveira that Am Yisrael, on their level, the Dor Dei, the greatest generation to ever live, did. And why is he doing this b'derech remez? B'chvodan shel Yisrael, because of the honor of the Jewish people. That Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to say directly what Am Yisrael have done, because if he says it directly, it's going to be a tremendous... Can you imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the words that I spoke to you after you sinned by Baal Peor, and you complained about the man, and you rebelled at the Yam Suf, and you worshipped Dizahav, is the chet of the Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu is just going to list off a whole list of tochachos. It's going to be a terrible bizayon for Am Yisrael. So the pichvod and shal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu holds his tongue and doesn't say. The Mefarshim are bewildered by this Rashi, because perhaps we haven't reached the second and third Aliyah of this week's Parsha yet with Shnai Mikra, but those who are familiar from previous years are well aware of the question of the Mizrahi, of Elio Mizrahi, as cited by the Maharal in source number 3. You go a little bit further in the parsha and you find, and here's our Pesach Teshuva. You go a little bit further in the parsha and you find Moshe Rabbeinu openly rebuking and speaking about this very difficult past of Am Yisrael, of the Chet HaEgel and the Meraglim, in a very open, in a very full disclosure type of way. What changed? This is the question of the Mizrahi, which he himself asks, not through really an actual question, but through an implication in source number 4. His answer is pretty straightforward. He says, the reason, in source number 4, Tocha v'gam iskeres kol ha'kasus yachad shu boshtan shel Yisrael, l'fikach lo hochichem b'feirish. The reason that here, Moshe Rabbeinu needs to hide the chataim of the Jewish people. We're just learning a little pshat right now. That's always the key to get into the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is hiding the chataim of Am Yisrael because he's about to list off 7, 8, 9 different things that they did in a row. To give a whole laundry list of the chataim of Am Yisrael is beneath the dignity of Am Yisrael. Later, when he's mentioning one by one, so the Mizrahi quotes the pasuk, Ein tzadik bar tasher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. Pasuk from Koheles, nobody's perfect. Of course people do chataim here and there. That's the Mizrahi's answer to his own question. The Maharal offers a second answer. The Maharal suggests that perhaps this is the very beginning of the Sefer. You don't want to start the Sefer in source number 3, in the bolded. Inami Bakan, another answer. Lefishu Rosh HaSefer, this is the very beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Ve'il Hatchil B'chei Yisrael. You don't want to open up a book with the chataim of Am Yisrael splashed all over the page. Okay, once we give a little bit of an introduction, this is a book that talks about different speeches that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, a little bit about Yisro and setting up a court system, and then Moshe Rabbeinu can go into some of the other more difficult passages of the journey of Am Yisrael through the Midbar. But I'd like to share with you one other answer, and I think this answer hopefully will act as a catalyst towards Tshuva Me'ava to help us to come to a new appreciation of what Tshuva is. And from here we'll be able to crack open the sugya of tshuva and how we can perhaps take, all of us here, Baruch Hashem, are on either the cusp of adulthood, are adults, are trying to be adults for the past 10 years or so. And there's this nagging question, before we give the answer, there's this nagging question in the back of my mind. How is it that I'm supposed to synthesize this new me who has certain desires, and has certain goals, and has certain she'ifos, looks at themselves in a certain way, and the person that I lived with for 15, 16, 17, 18 years of my life, and even more so on a yearly basis, when the smell of slichos starts to go through the air, as it already is, Rosh Chodesh Av, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that the month of Av, the constellation, is the lion, is the Aryeh. And the month of Elul is the Besula, is the perfect woman. And the Gemara says it's better for a man to walk behind the lion than to walk behind the beautiful woman. Because if you walk behind the beautiful woman, you're going to have bad thoughts. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, you know, so the Sfarim say, you know what that means? The Gemara says that it means it's better to do tshuva in the month of the lion. It's better to return, it's better to walk away and to do tshuva, walk away from your old way in the month of the lion of Elul, of Av, before the month of the Basula, of the beautiful woman of Elul. To start doing tshuva now when the smell of tshuva is starting to waft through the air. So every year we come back to this question, I hope. Every year we look at ourselves, like Rav Shalom Shvadron used to say, how painful it would be for a person after 5, 10, 20, 50 years in this world, they turn around and they are still on the same level like they were when they were a little kid. His comparison was, imagine a 50-year-old man wearing the tzitzis that he used to wear when he was a 3-year-old. You know, like the little Batman tzitzis? Right? And he's 50 years old and he's still wearing, they barely fit over his head. You look ridiculous. And the classic question that I used to get and I still get all the time, working as a Rebbe, is, Rebbe, were you the same way that you are now when you were in high school? When you were Shana Aleph? When you were Shana Bet? And my answer every time is the same, and some of you have heard this before, is I hope not. I hope I'm not the same. I hope that I'm growing, and I hope 20 years from now I'm not the same either. Because how tragic it would be if we're the same person that we are today, 20 years from now. So how do we reconcile this person we hope to be and the person that we've become with the person who we've always been? And be real about it. So there's a beautiful sefer, which I was actually introduced to by some of my students in Torah Shraga last summer when I was here. Apparently there's a Rebbe in Torah Shraga who was very fond of the sefer. He was close with the Mechaber. He actually came to speak in yeshiva. A small sefer, which you can find in source number 6, called Zer Yitzchak. A very humble, I only briefly caught a glance of him one night when I was running back home to my family. A Jew by the name of Rav Roy Meir Ashkenazi. Beautiful drushes on the Parsha. So he quotes this whole discussion. Yesh Levaris Divrei Rashi Al Pi Divrei HaMedrash. He says, I think we can begin to open a Pesach to this sugya of tshuva from the following Medrash. The Medrash says, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Pam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a thousandfold. He's going to give you a thousandfold from what you already have from the Avos. Vayivarech Eschem Kasher Diber Lachem. This is what the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless you with a thousandfold. Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Jewish people, and he will bless you as we are speaking here right now. Says the Medrash, V'chi Matzarech Bracha Kan. Why all of a sudden is Moshe Rabbeinu giving Am Yisrael a bracha, giving them a blessing? El Lafisha Kiblu es Tochachaso. They accepted his Tochacha and his Baishu. They felt embarrassed by it. Because of that, Zachu Lebracha. Because of that, they were Zochet to an amazing blessing, to an amazing bracha, an amazing bounty from Shammayim. Nimtu Lamdu Midivri HaMedrash Shebeshal Shebnei Yisrael Shamu Es Divri HaTochacha Chazru Miyad B'tshuva. At that moment when Moshe Rabbeinu, when that opening line in the Parsha, was giving them these different Ramazim about the different things that they did with Baal Pa'or and the Mon and the Egel and the, all of the things, at that moment, Am Yisrael were makabel upon themselves tshuva, not just regular tshuva, but a tshuva where they would be worthy of blessing a thousandfold. A tshuva amitis. A tshuva me'ava, not just a tshuva me'yira. You know, the Gemara says in source number 5, Amrei shlokish gedula tshuva, shez donos nasano kishkagos. And not only that, but Rishlokish is another name, is donos nasano kizachuyos. When a person does tshuva me'ava, his averos that he did on purpose become merits for him. They become beautiful, shining jewels and a crown that he can wear on top of his head and be proud. Says the Zer Yitzchak, why is Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden, after the first paragraph where he's being so careful with the Kvod Anshel Yisrael, being so explicit about the averos of the Jewish people? It's beautiful. He says, one thing changed. In the beginning, Am Yisrael had this pekala of averus on their back, and Moshe Rabbeinu needed to give them tochacha, and needed to say, Chevra, wake up, tshuva. But Am Yisrael took the message, and they didn't just do tshuva me'yira. They did a complete tshuva me'ava. Moshe Rabbeinu cracked through the core of Am Yisrael, and out came what is natural inside of the Jewish heart. If you would cut it open, is natural Avas Hashem, bleeding Avas Hashem. And Am Yisrael responded with tshuva me'ava. Once Am Yisrael responded with tshuva me'ava, says the Zer Yitzchak, back in source number 6, after the three dots, on the fourth line, if you want to follow with me, Achim batchila Moshe Rabbeinu lo ratza lo chicham v'galoy. Machmas kvodim shal Yisrael. At first Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to rebuke them, because what a terrible disgrace for the Jewish people. Ach kol zehu rak kodim sha'am Yisrael asu tshuva. Aval yosu b'shasha ochicham. Once they responded with tshuva me'ava, so then don't you understand the chid of the egel, the chid of the meraglim, these chatoim became unbelievable merits for Am Yisrael. And then Adarabba, he wanted to speak about every single detail of them, because every detail became for Am Yisrael a precious jewel in the crown of their heads. So that before he needed to speak beremes, but after they did tshuva me'ava, there was this tremendous upheaval, where all of the averos were shifted from that pile of negative to the pile of positive and acted as a zchus for Am Yisrael. Isn't this what we're trying to do on Yom Kippur? Isn't this what we're trying to do? To make our zchuyos more through the tshuva me'ava that we're hopefully doing, not just tshuva me'yira. But of course, this week, if it's Yom Kippur today, that means tomorrow is going to be Sukkos. So you have to prepare for tomorrow also. The Kedushas Levi in a celebrated piece of Torah, source number 8, the Kedushas Levi helps us to understand a little bit more about the holiday of Sukkot. Davar b'ito matov. It's going to be Sukkot and Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow. Yisav v'gemar v'lakachtem lechem b'yom harishon. It says we should take the four species of the lulav, the esrog, the hadassim, and the rabos on the first. V'lakachtem lechem b'yom harishon. On the first day you should take them. Says the Medrash Chazal, v'chi rishon hu? Is this the first day of the month? It's the 15th of the month when we take the lulav. It's not the 15th of Tishrei. It's the first. It's not the first of Tishrei. It's the 15th of Tishrei. Ella says the Gemara, source number 8 from the Kedushas Levi, al Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. Rather, the first day of Sukkot is the first day of Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. It's the first day we start counting our averos, because Mistama, as the Mefarshim explains, during those days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we're still so high from Yom Kippur that we haven't done any averos. Already, the first day of Sukkot, that's when we start doing averos. The Kedushas Levi is not comfortable with the Averus of Am Yisrael, as we all know. The great defender of the Jewish people will not allow for a Medrash to be talking about the Averus of Am Yisrael. So the Kedushas Levi says, you know what it means? Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos? Because until now, today is Yom Kippur, but tomorrow will be Sukkot. And Yom Kippur is Tshuva Me'ira. There's nothing to do about it. We try to get to Tshuva Me'ava, but it's a scary day. Our lives are on the line. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the Sifrei Tzadikim and Rishayim open, the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Maves. And it's a scary day, but comes the holiday of Sukkot, the holiday of Ahava, the holiday that Arizal described as the day when we get a hug from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because everybody knows the din is that in order to have a kosher sukkah, you need to have two walls and a tefach. As long as you have two walls and a tefach, it's already a kosher sukkah. So the Arizal said, isn't this beautiful? He said that the holiday of Sukkot is like an impetus for Tshuva Me'ava, because it's like getting a hug from Hashem. Two walls and a tefach. Two walls and a tefach of the fist. It's like walking into a physical structure of a hug from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So on the first day of Sukkot, all of a sudden this amazing thing happens to Am Yisrael. We all do Tshuva Me'ava. We're so intoxicated with the love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we say, what are we doing? Hashem is waiting for us. His hands are open. Everything we did, he says, I don't care, just come back. And the Jewish people respond with Tshuva Me'ava. And you know what happens? It's the Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. It's the Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos, like a Cheshbon. Cheshbon in Eretz Yisrael, Cheshbon is a bank account. It means we start looking at our bank account, and all of a sudden it's the Rishon Lecheshbonos, we start counting our averos. We start counting the averos from the previous year. We say, one avera, two averos, three averos, four averos, five averos. Why? Because now that it's Sukkot, now that we're doing Tshuva Me'ava, now that we've come to that level of Tshuva Me'ava that we're going to spend the next 15 minutes or so talking about, so then we can finally begin to count our averos and we say, ah, how I used to be, but now look at Kadosh Baruch Hu, how I am, and every Aveira becomes a mitzvah, becomes a zchus for us. It's the beginning of counting our Aveiras and being proud of who we've become as opposed to who we were. How does a person come to Tshuva Me'ava? What is Tshuva Me'ava on the deepest level? Like I said, we're all trying to find that Pesach for Tshuva, and we're all trying to do it in a new adult way. So how do we understand this concept of Tshuva Me'ava in a new way? So I think everything we said until now is really a hakdama, even though the hakdama was longer than the actual presentation of the new way of looking. But I think it was a necessary hakdama. So now we can begin. You know, we quoted this idea that zdonos are nasim zechuyos when a person does Tshuva Me'ava. Who is the Baal HaMemra? Who is the one who taught us this teaching? So if you look back in source number 5, you'll see that the first words of the Gemara are Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was the one who taught us this concept of Tshuva Me'ava. And the amazing thing is that Reish Lakish himself and the life of Reish Lakish is an amazing commentary on this Gemara. It's not Stam that Reish Lakish is the one who's teaching us this, as many of the Mefarshim explain in Pirkei Avos when it says Hu Haya Omer. Right? Each of the people in Pirkei Avos is teaching us a certain thing. Why are they dafka teaching it? So, Hu Haya Omer. As the Sfarim HaKadoshim explained, Hu Haya, first he became that thing. He was an embodiment of that thing. And then Omer, and then he said it. First he became the living principle of that idea, Hu Haya, and then Omer, and then he taught him. That Reish Lakish is the one who teaches about Tshuva Me'ava, that means we have to analyze, we have to look at the life of Reish Lakish to try to understand in a new way what Tshuva Me'ava is really all about. So in source number 16, the life of Reish Lakish becomes open to us. This is the beginning of Reish Lakish. Yom Achad, one day, like any good story, okay? Yom Achad, Havakasachi Rabbi Yochanan Biardena. Rabbi Yochanan, who was to be, sorry to spoil the story for you now, was to be Reish Lakish's brother-in-law, was swimming in the Yarden River. He's going for a swim in the Yarden River. Now, if anyone knows anything about Rabbi Yochanan, you might remember that Rabbi Yochanan was exceedingly beautiful. He was a very beautiful person. Reish Lakish, Chazi Reish Lakish, the Gemara says Reish Lakish saw him. Vishavar li Ardena Abasret. Abarte. Sorry. So Reish Lakish jumped into the Jordan River to try to get him. What's going on here? Rashi explains that he saw Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was a man, but he wasn't able to grow a beard, which was unusual for the time of, in the times of Chazal, men had beards, both Jewish and not Jewish. And he thought that Rav Yochanan was a woman. And Reish Lakish was, as you see from the story, at the time, a person who jumped into rivers after women who were swimming in the river. Rav Yochanan saw this act of Reish Lakish. He saw Reish Lakish pounce into the river. And he said to him, Amar Lei. Rav Yochanan was overcome with the strength of Reish Lakish. He said to him, Chelchol Oraisa. Chelchol Oraisa. Let your strength be for Torah. You have unbelievable strength. I see it in you. You're a fire. Use that for study of Torah. Amar Lei, so Reish Lakish wasn't impressed, and he said back to him, Shufrayach Linashe, your beauty should be for attracting women. What are you doing here? Studying Torah, taking a little swim, and then you're going to go back to the base manager. He said, come join. Your beauty should be used for women. So Rav Yochanan said back to him, if you use your kochos for Torah, if you go back from your bad ways, said, you should know that I have a sister, I'm sure, who would love to marry you, and she's even more beautiful than I am. This is the beginning of the story of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish returns and becomes one of the Gedolei Yisrael. What did Rav Yochanan see in Reish Lakish? So I think this is the beginning of understanding. What is Tshuva Me'ahava? What does that do? We spoke either 2 weeks ago or last week, that was the first time we had an official shiur, but I think it was 2 weeks ago that we spoke about the concept that the neshama versus the guf have very different ways of expressing themselves. Rav Dessler, who may or may not have been included in these sources, Rav Dessler in the Michta Meliyahu, who was not included, talks about this concept of the neshama being very edel, being adin, being gentle, being soft. We spoke 2 weeks ago a little bit about this, with Derech Agah, that whereas the body lets you know when it wants what it wants, if the body is hungry, it doesn't hesitate to let you know. You don't forget that you're hungry. You don't forget that you feel unclean. The body lets you know whenever there's something. The body has what Rabbi Nachman describes as azus de beguf. There's this certain chutzpah that the guf has that it won't stay quiet for a second. The body, as soon as it's tired, you know. As soon as it's thirsty, you know. If it's hungry, you know. If it's driven towards taiva, you know. That's the azus of the body. The neshama is very gentle. The neshama speaks to you, and this is what Rav Dessler describes, says the neshama speaks to you like as if it's talking from the outside, not if it's actually you. The body says, I am hungry now, feed me. The neshama says, you know, it might not be a bad idea to daven. You should probably speak a little bit nicer. But you don't hear it as like this screaming voice inside, like, I need to daven now! I don't like the way I'm talking to this person! Afterwards, the neshama kind of kicks in and says, maybe I should have done that better. You know, it's like much more gentle, it's much more subtle. body is loud, the body is like a cheerleader for its needs, the neshama is kind of just sitting on the sidelines watching, seeing like what's going on, doesn't really make so many comments. So Rav Yochanan saw in Reish Lakish, as he said, if you can learn, and this is how your zechuyos can come out of a person's, the beauty of an ugly past, how a person's shortcomings, how a person's seeming failures can manifest in such a beautiful way if we just learn to control them and direct them in the right way. Rav Yochanan looked at Reish Lakish and he said to him, you have unbelievable koach. Why don't you use that for something positive? Because the body is so powerful. The body is screaming. The body's not gentle. A person who's a Baal Tshuva, a person with a past, who takes that past with them and allows that to transform their personality into one of, I should really be davening, I should really be speaking nicer, I should really learn a little bit more, I should be growing, all those things that the neshama says, and you take that passion of the body, you take that screaming koach of the guf, and you throw it towards the Torah, chel chel araisa, you throw it towards a life of Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim, so then what you have just done is you have just taken the sweetness of the neshama, and the azus, that koach, that fire of the body, and you've created an unbelievable vessel for the service of God. In source number 15, the Shem Yishmuel says that Rosh Chodesh, we're going to say it tomorrow in Musaf, Rosh Chodesh is a tikkun for David HaMelech. David HaMelech said, Tzom lecha nafshi, kam lecha besari. It's unbelievable, based on what we just said, this pasuk jumped off the page. Tzom lecha nafshi, my soul is thirsty for you. Kam lecha besari. But my flesh, if I use my flesh, the way it's yearning, my flesh is yearning for physicality, if I use that to serve Hashem, I can introduce a passion into my avodas Hashem that I never thought possible. The Shem Yishmuel says that we're going to say in Musaf tomorrow that Rosh Chodesh is Zeu Shenamar Omrim Zman Kapara Lekol Toldosam. It's a Zman Kapara for all of our toldos. And as we know in Parshas Noach, Rashi says the tzaddikim v'amich kulam tzaddikim al v'amisar tzaddikim, the toldos of a tzaddik are his maisim tovim. It's a zman kapara for all of our maisim tovim. We need a kapara for our maisim tovim. So the Shem Yishmuel says we sometimes need a kapara for our maisim tovim. The tshuva that we take our ugly past, whatever passions we had, whatever our greatest inspiring moments were when we were 14, 15, 16, those things that we never missed. The inspiration of a person who was so consistent of never missing that television show Thursday night at 8 o'clock prime time and using that towards serving Hashem. Kamalucha Basari, using the yearning of the body to serve Hashem creates a kapara lekol tovim for all of our maisim tovim. Because are our maisim tovim being done with the fire that we were doing those other things? Are we giving, like Reish Lakish did, all of the strength that he did to jump into the river to then use that same amount of strength to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So going back to that first question, of course there's a moment, that maybe even a long moment, a long pause between who I was and who I've become, where there's a certain discomfort of looking at myself and saying, you know, I used to be really into this thing, whatever it is. And of course, in the beginning, I need to step away from that. I need to rethink my direction in life. I need to put that hobby, whether it's painting or writing or music or whatever it is, or fixing cars or studying medicine. I don't know who was into that in high school, but whatever your thing was, you need to put that on the side for a little bit because it was ugly and it was used in an improper way. But the worst thing we can do to ourselves is push it so far away that we no longer use it in our avodas Hashem forever. It takes a while. First, it has to be tshuva mi'ira. And then after a while, you get into it, you become a little stronger. You have those moments where you're about to go to sleep and you lie down, and before you go to sleep, you just can't help it, but you say, Hashem, I love you. Thank you so much for making me a Jew. And at that moment, when you have that experience of, wow, I really like this. This is awesome. This is not just like, I'm afraid what's going to happen to me because of all those schmoozing that I heard in Eretz Yisrael or whatever other thing that clicked, but it wasn't really coming from me. It was coming from all these external things. Fear doesn't only mean I'm afraid I'm going to go to Gehenna. It could also mean fear of, like, what do other people think of me? But as soon as I hit that moment, I hit that stride where I feel, wow, I really love this. I am so happy that I'm Jewish. At that moment, a person needs to go back and there needs to be a rishon lechashvan avonos. A person needs to sift through all of the old garbage to pick up those little pieces of gold that somehow fell between the cracks. To go back and to say, you know, I'm really good at writing poetry. And we read a poem from Rav Kook last week that set my soul on fire. So maybe I should use that koach to write about Eretz Yisrael, or to write about doing chesed, or to write about what it's like when I light Shabbos candles. And I should use that koach. Or maybe I used to really be into Led Zeppelin when I was in high school, and I should use that koach to sit in the Beis Medrash and play Tehillim on my guitar. That's what the koach of Tshuva Me'ava does. You take all of those things from the past, and once you have fallen absolutely head over heels in love with Hashem and with your avoda, you're able to use that in such a beautiful, profound way. What time do we have? If anyone has to go, by the way, I forgot to mention that. I meant to mention that 2 weeks ago. If anyone ever has to go in the middle of one of these shirin, you can get up and leave, and I will love you just the same. No, it's not a cheshbon at all. It's so late. You're working very hard. This is what we're trying to do here. This is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is trying to put the passion back into our avodas Hashem. And where do we get the passion? The passion is not coming from the neshama. Because the neshama is edel. The neshama is gentle. The neshama is quiet and whispers to us. But the guf has an azus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our past. And we shouldn't be embarrassed. And we should embrace it at the right time and with guidance from Rebbeim and from friends. And we should use that to put fire back into our avodas Hashem. There's a story that I love very much that I discovered a number of years ago from the Ben Ishchai. In source number 17, the story picks up, but I'll give you the beginning outside. It's a bit of a mushel. The Ben Ishchai says that one time the Yitzhar and the Yitzhar Tov met each other on the street. So you see it's a mushel, right? So they met on the street. And they made a deal. The Yitzhar said to the Yitzhar Tov, listen, tell me the address. Give me the address of your biggest guy, of your biggest tzaddik, and I'll give you the address of my, you know, biggest guy. And each of us will go and we'll try to, you know, convince our constituents that they're wrong. Their whole life is backwards. So the Ben Ishchai doesn't exactly tell us what happened with the Yitzhar Hara, with the Yitzhar Tov, I'm sorry. But he does tell us what happened with the Yitzhar Hara. The Yitzhar Hara gets the address. He goes over to the house and he peers through the window. And he sees this tzaddik of a man sitting. There's a candle lit. He's poring over who knows what. Maybe it's a Gemara. Maybe it's already late at night. He's learning Kabbalah. Who knows? He's sitting there and he's reading. And Yitzhar says, okay, I got a plan. He says, about a block and a half from here, there's a tavern. So the Yitzhara petitions, however this works. I don't know how this works. I'm kind of ad-libbing the story, but he petitions and he gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu to blow open the window of the tzaddik's home just as he's blowing over the door of the tavern, and the tzaddik starts to hear the music from the tavern. You know, there are people in there having a good time. And the tzaddik's already feeling a little bit tired, so he says, you know, maybe I should go for a walk around the block. It's, you know, it's kind of late. I could use some fresh air, get another hour or so in of learning before I go to sleep. So he goes outside and he hears the music and he starts following the music and never really noticed the tavern before, but he goes, follows it, comes to the door, and he starts peering inside, and he sees inside this crazy scene. It's late at night, remember. He sees this crazy scene. There are people drinking, there are men and women dancing together, hanging from chandeliers, swinging all over the place, people cracking up on the floor. It's wild, and it's not like he's just standing there, stunned. He's never seen anything like this in his life. People are going absolutely bananas. They're going crazy. And he's watching an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It's already like 3:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning. And so he says, this is crazy. I gotta get out of here, you know? So he goes, he turns around, he goes home, and as he's walking home, something's off, he can't exactly place it. He doesn't feel, something feels weird, and Yitzhar is like, alright, you know, something's going on. And he comes home, and he walks into his house, and he takes off his hat, his jacket, he sits down, and he goes up to the room where he, his wife is already fast asleep. And as soon as he gets into bed and he kind of puts his head down on the pillow, all of a sudden a tear trickles down his eye. And he starts crying. It's getting heavier. The sobbing is turning into like really intense wailing. His wife like wakes up and she looks at him and she's like, what's going on? So he says, and this is where it picks up in source number 17. He falls on his bed and he's crying in the first line, Vayarvi, Hinea Chasid, Shemechnas Labeso Nafal, Mitasa Vayavech. He starts crying a deep, bitter mourning type of crying. And his wife, when someone says, what's going on? Malacha. Some French, Spanish word, I'm not sure exactly what it means. Some sort of very special type of gold. I had this kli that was made out of very special gold. And it was very pure and it was very special. I looked at this piece of gold and I saw that it was really absolutely worth nothing. And he to her, his mom's like, he's like salivating, he's like rubbing his hands, like, see, he realized that look how much fun these people are having. This guy's gonna give it up forever. And through the sobs, he's trying to make to his wife, trying to tell the story. I saw people, they were dancing, they're having such a good time, they were going hours. And he to her, his jaw is dropping lower and lower as he's seeing. He's about to win this bet. I don't know what they were betting over. Probably something pretty good. And just as the tzaddik can't take it anymore, the wife says, I don't understand. What are you talking about? You don't have gold. What are you saying? You don't have gold. You're a poor old man. So he says, the gold that I thought I had was my avodas Hashem. And I saw these people having such a good time. And the Yitzhar is like jumping up and down, you know, like, he already has like the streamers and he has like the jersey with like, you know, with like the, like he won, you know, the tournament or whatever. He already has it ready, he's like ready to put it on. And the tzaddik turns out, and I realized that I never served Hashem for a day in my life. And Yitzhar is like, man, serious. He said, I saw these people, they were like on fire with what they were doing. There was one guy who was like, the whole time he was just like running back and forth just like this and smashing into the wall, and the whole time he was cracking up. That was the funniest thing in the world. I saw this man and the woman were dancing for 5 hours straight. He said, I never worked on a Tosfos for 5 hours straight. He said, I saw these people were alive. They were into it. They were so passionate. He said, I thought I had something with my Avodas Hashem, but I realized tonight that I had nothing because I saw what those people were doing. And I saw how they were doing it. And I said, I'm so embarrassed. I thought I was serving God. That experience that the Ben Ish Chai is describing is the experience of a person who has tshuva me'ava explained to him what it could be like if he was serving God in the way that he served himself before. The beauty of an ugly past is that a person is able to look at that ugly past and see, wow, there was like a fire, there was a passion. There was a desire there that somehow maybe escaped me when I started taking on this new way of serving God. And if I could somehow re-access that way of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'll be zocha to serve Him with the same level of intensity that the guf is screaming, feed me, clothe me, let me take a nap. That same desire will be completely apparent in my avodas Hashem, and I'll say, I need to daven right now. I need to honor my parents. I need to connect with people on a deep way of being mechubar to them, not on the level of superficiality, of like, oh, how you doing? I'm doing it. But to really care about another person. I need to do that with passion, the same passion that I was doing everything else with. There's a lot more to say, but there's not enough more time. So, we'll end with a blessing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. And we should be zocha to atshuva me'ava, at the tochacha of Moshe Rabbeinu, should come through to us the Derech Remez in the beginning, but we should use those Ramazim as a catalyst, as an impetus to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a loftier level, so that Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to go, and we'll all be able to go together and look at our averos and say, ah, you remember that one? Oh, that was, remember how I did that? Remember how that was filled with a certain passion? Maybe we could use that to serve a Kodesh Baruch. Hashem help us that we indeed listen to those tochachos and we indeed use them to serve a Kodesh Baruch. And that merit, it would be zocha to the great day when we'll return to that place, the Lev HaOlam, that heart of the world which pulsates with that vitality, with that vibrancy, the Bius HaMikdash, which we're so eagerly awaiting, at the coming of Mashiach and Eliyahu Navi, you can hear Aminu Amen Bami. Thank you.
Read the poem.
After.